Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show, the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show, episode 11, season 4, The Harem. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show.
This song never gets old.
I'm Joe Braswell.
Does it?
I'm joined as always by the lovely Julia Carey.
Hello, Joe. Hello, everybody.
We're also not joined by Joe Sanfilippo on the phone. Yeah. I mean, in studio, but we possibly may or may not be joined by him on the phone. And when that happens, we'll let you know.
We'll rejoice.
Or he'll let us know. He'll just start talking. So season 4, here we are, and we've got The Harem, man.
Number 102.
I've got lots of thoughts on Harem. I've got a mixed emotions on The Harem.
Okay.
I'm kind of like all over the place, because at face value, I think it's kind of a gimmicky concept and kind of lame. And the fact that Liz Keene is got to go undercover in general is just
I can't.
Let's
do
just
it.
Get this out of the way right
okay.
from the jump,
please God,
just so we can get over with. So this is the woman, Joe Flip.
Hi Flip.
How you doing?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good. I just want to get this out of the way. So we have the woman who publicly murdered the U.S. Attorney General.
Yep.
Publicly on the run.
FBI's most wanted list on the run with the notorious Red Reddington.
And then famously pardoned by the president, which made headline news all over the world. And she's going to go undercover with a pair of glasses.
Not to mention, last week, a sweet little housewife recognized her from television in the grocery store and followed her home.
Yes.
But this week, she's the most recognizable human, presumably.
But this week, a gang of badass, super spy, hot women thieves are going to be like,
eh. No idea.
Not
a clue.
And by the way, way to throw them off the scent by changing your first name. I'm Liz Bean. what's happening, Flippo? What's going on? Joe, explain this to me.
You know what? Look, I have watched TV my whole life. So have you. I've seen the movies. It is my understanding that when Superman puts on a pair of glasses, he instantly becomes Clark Kent.
True.
There is nothing new about this. This is simply... it is very hard. It's very hard to swallow. Lizzie Bean, that was awesome. But
what was her last name? Continue, Joe. I'm sorry.
It's a TV trope. We have to accept that it's okay.
I feel like I would have accepted it a little bit better had she left those glasses on the entire time she was undercover. It was just when she was undercover as the hotel person.
That's true.
Then she just, threw some lipstick on and a messy updo, and there you go.
Yeah.
But she was under.
Under.
You know,
deep cover.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Please.
I want to. If you have an opportunity to rewatch the first scene, the opening set piece, the car chase with the Cadillacs.
Yep.
Okay. Rewatch that, because what is to me hilarious. If you watch the scene, they're coming around a left turn at one point in the car chase, and it becomes like Jerry Bruckheimer and The Rock. Do you remember that car chase through San Francisco?
Yeah, turn left, we're at the Golden Gate Bridge. Turn right, we're at Coit Tower. Turn left, we're at Fisherman's Wharf. That one, the geographically correct?
San Francisco is three blocks across.
Yes.
And if you watch that scene again, they crashed that Hummer in the rock like 9 times where it could not have recovered, and it just keeps going, right?
Sure, it's a Hummer.
But if you watch this opening scene, they crash a different Cadillac from a different model year. So it comes around the corner. When it's hitting the corner, it's a 2016 brand new badass Cadillac. It makes the left, and it's going to go hit those two cars. It's a 2013 Cadillac that we're comfortable killing. Then it comes back around the next right, and it's a 2016 again. I just think you should rewatch it, because I was laughing so hard I almost cried. Anyway, worth your time to take a look at, because you'd be like, why? Like, for how many, what, $5,000, $10,000 is the difference?
Wait.
And you've made the scene silly.
Here's the other thing about that opening scene, which I liked. This is one of those times where we're going to, like, probably bash the episode the whole time in a friendly way, but we actually like the episode. At least I'm speaking for myself. I actually kind of like this episode a lot. Maybe because I'm a sucker for... I'm a sucker for heists. I'm a sucker for, you know, oceans, whatever. I'm a sucker for heists. I'm a sucker for women. Let's get it right. I'm a sucker for Jill Hennessy. So, yeah, you know, I'm a sucker for my girl, what's her name? But from Hannibal.
Oh, I was so happy to see her.
Yeah, so I'm just a big sucker. So I love the whole thing.
Sliced in panels like the last time we saw her.
Spoiler alert.
Last time we saw her, she was cut up good.
I like this, but I will say, so the opening scene... When they go, so, you know, you've got my girl who's on Overwatch with the big high-powered rifle, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got the other girl who's pretending to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. The second she steps out, she rips off the pregnancy, that she rips off the belly. Why not just wear the belly into the car? She rips off the belly. That's the thing that tips off the guy, like, whoa, you're not pregnant. And then he has to take him out. Pop.
Did she have a gun or something underneath? I watched this on Friday.
She took off the belly.
I think she had a gun.
I think it was concealing a weapon.
All right. But, like, she took off the guy. The guy's like, whoa, you're up. Pow. Gets taken out.
Yes.
Fine. And the other thing is, if the chick is on Overwatch, when the rest of the team runs out to chase them in the van, how about she just takes out all those guys? Chase over. Like, hey, when they run out, boom, 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 everyone's dead. Let's go. Meet you in the alley.
I got nothing for you.
Why are they chasing?
See, if you made these shows, they wouldn't be any damn fun.
Yeah, right, they'd be pretty boring. The show would be over.
17 minutes long, and they wouldn't be any damn fun.
Well, this team's not effective. Anyway, but it was an effective, very, very effective first scene to introduce us to the harem.
Oh, yeah.
Problem number two with the harem.
Can I say one other thing?
Sure.
One other complaint, because overall, I'm in the same exact boat you are. I really liked this episode by the end of it. It was one of those ones where I'm like, I'm looking at myself in the mirror afterwards. I'm like, you're a sucker. I was in, even though I was like, can't believe they did this, but I was totally in.
Right.
But here's the thing that I find shocking about the episode. So, I don't know if you remember, they go back to the strip club and they shoot the mafia dudes, like the good-looking guy. You know, they're the two henchmen in the beginning, the bald dude that gets whacked, and then there's the good-looking dude who chases him. And then they kill the good-looking dude in the strip club. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzie doesn't bat an eyelash. Not a thought about it. Okay, fine.
She's a cool customer.
Right? But now they're in Hong Kong, and the girl wants to kiss her. And now Lizzie is, what? I can't, what? I don't even know.
Right.
Kiss a girl? What are you talking about? And then Red Chick comes in and gives the long look over the shoulder. I'm taking this one for you.
Taking one for the team.
And I'm like, really? This is so much worse than killing a dude?
She was going to do it. Lizzie was going to do it. She was going to go all in.
Man, that was, by the way, the least sexy girl.
Oh,
the
my
least
God.
Sexy girl on girl approach.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was it. Just put my hand on your shoulder, like the stiffest hand ever. Okay, let's do this. I'm ready.
I mean, I don't want to get in the thing. Liz Keene, not so sexy to me. Julia, not a lot of sex appeal.
Even when she was swinging on the pole, I was like, come on, give me a little something.
And when she's like taking the shot and going, yeah, and kind of like doing a little dance.
She doesn't do it for me.
Oh, no.
She doesn't do it for me, but she does it for a lot of people on the show, apparently, because they'll do anything for her.
Jesus.
Magical vagina. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
I mean, I don't even. All right. So. The other thing that they're wrong about, I love everything about the opening scene. I love everything about the harem, except for the fact they're called the freaking harem.
It's a poor choice.
The harem?
The harem.
Is this written in 1975?
I was just going to say, it's a little condescending.
The harem.
If I had a band of girls who were up to criminal activity and pulling off major heists, I'd come up with something way cooler and way sexier than that.
Right. I want to say hello to our folks in the chat room really quickly.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. Hi, folks. Hi, Liam. And yeah, Mega Boom does steal hearts, Liam. I hear you. Fantasy Stats Guru says her lesbian floor game was subpar, which I agree. Andrew Martin, hello. Watson Keen, as always, good to see you. And Tiffany Hoffman, and I don't know. I'm looking at it. Thank you all of you guys who are watching and chatting right this very second. I'm sorry that we apologize for not being here on Friday, but we're here today on Monday.
Better late than never.
Better late than never. Also, a bit of business. We do have this wonderful pop television doll of Elizabeth Keen given to us by your husband, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
Santa.
Yes.
She was in my stocking.
She has got
very lively eyes, very similar Lizzie
Keen's expressive eyes, if you can see this on YouTube. We have to get the Red Reddington.
The Red Reddington is kind of awesome with his glasses. I kind of want it. Hat,
but we like this a lot. So thank you. Thank you, Eric Carley.
Thanks, Carley.
So we're back.
Santa.
So the harem. Red has to tell. That very cool scene where Red's doing a bunch of Red things.
Red things
and
laundering some money.
And Liz. And I will say, I'm more and more buying Lizzie's swag as an FBI agent. The way she came in and flashed a badge and made people nervous.
Like, that was dope, right?
Yeah, you bought that, right? She did flash a badge to make me nervous.
I thought it was kind of funny. I think it felt like she was making up for lost time. She hasn't had her badge in a while. Let me flash this sucker around.
She was swagged out.
Let me show you the power I have. And she's pissed at Red and petulant again.
Yeah. I mean, Joe, what do you think of that scene?
Oh, strong. I thought that was great. It was one of those, I agree, same thing. Like, oh, there you go. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then, the whole place scrammed, Amsgrade. And Red seemed impressed too. Like, okay, well, you got my attention. So Red explains to what's going on. They talk about the list. They talk about the harem. He says the only way in is to go in. Which again, it's Red's idea.
I know. Like, what are we doing, it's guys? Like,
Liz, do you have some glasses? You've already burned the hoodie look.
Yeah, the hoodie is gone, as
Jody calls it, the blogger hoodie.
You already
burned the blogger hoodie look. So now, let's go for the glasses.
She cracked me up, actually, Jody, when she said she gave up the blogger hoodie for a bold lip and a sweater coat.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Genius. Genius.
A bold lip and a sweater coat, yes. Very funny. Her going undercover and the FBI signs off. They all sign off on it. She goes in.
No one even raises a question.
I did like when they go and found the guy who they had to sort of corroborate her story and sort of say that, like,
yeah.
And then the line were like, "Well, what's the line that we'll learn this so many times that we'll forget that it's a lie?
Forget it's a lie. Yeah, we'll go over it times. We'll forget it's a lie. Yeah, I like it.
And frankly, when she came in with the glasses and was all swagging around, I bought it. I'm for a half a second.
Yeah,
I was like, who's that?
Sure.
It's Lizzie Bean.
It's Lizzie Bean.
Someone told me the name. It's Liz Watson. Was it? I think it's something like that. Someone said it here. Anyway, not Lizzie Bean, but whatever. So,
I like Lizzie Bean. I'm sticking with it.
But let's talk about the triumphant return to television to formerly television's toughest broad, Jill Hennessy.
Yeah.
Who, if this show was made in 1995, she would be Lizzie Keen.
Yeah, she'd
be a great Lizzie Keene.
That's a good point.
Right?
She'd be a phenomenal Lizzie
Keene. If this show was made in 1996 or 7 or even 2000, Jill Hennessy. Jill Hennessy, more like 2000.
She's looking good.
She looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see her.
Buff.
And again, I bought Lizzie Crawford. Thanks, guys.
Crawford.
Liz Crawford. Because it's still got the same Crawford Keene. Anyway. I was very happy to see Jill Hennessy, and I bought Jill Hennessy as the leader. It was a good casting on my part.
Margot Roche. I also like the name.
Margot Roche.
I kind of want my name to be Margot Roche.
Roche. I have a friend
Can
who's
you guys
last
refer to me as that now?
Yeah.
Margot Roche.
Margot Roche. Julia Roche.
Roche.
No. I like Roche. If I can be, what's the name? Strong Man Blackthorn. What's my man's name from last week? The Blackthorn, Black Hat.
Oh, wait, is this my
name?
Notes from last week?
Shit. If I can be that guy, then you can be...
Oh, yes, that's where it was at.
Yeah, right.
No.
You can be that. Anyway, you can be Roche. Anyway, so I like that scene. I like them sort of getting, her infiltrating the group.
Yeah.
I like when they do the dossier, the rundown. This one's this. She's got a hot temper.
Mm-hmm.
This one's got, you know...
The designer, the impulsive chameleon, and then there's... Emma Knightley.
She's a mystery.
Who is she?
Yeah, she's a mystery. We don't know who she is.
You know what it always reminds me of, though, when they do the rundown of a girl group? It always reminds me of Pulp Fiction, when they're talking about the pilot that she's talking about. Everybody in Hollywood gets to do a pilot,
right?
And then she gives. Remember, she's given the
Fox Force 5.
Oh, Fox Force 5.
Fox Force 5. Come on, dude.
Fox Force 5.
Yes.
Fox Force 5.
Yeah, everybody knows Fox Force 5.
That was what I was yelling out, and my wife looked at me like, "What the hell are you talking about?" I'm like, "No, Fox Force, never mind."
Yeah.
I have to jump off. I love you guys. I have to
That's
run.
That's it?
Have a great
rest of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know. Wow. We all got started so late. I love you guys.
We love you.
We
bye.
We love you, Flip. See you around.
This guy.
Talk to you soon.
Kid.
Bye. He's like the Red Reddington of our podcast.
He would just, like, leave a hat.
He comes, he puts the hat down first, and he sits down. He says, Mr. Braswell. This reminds me of the time back in Bangladesh. This guy. Well, there he was. He's killing me with this guy. All right, so we're back. So, yeah, I did enjoy that bit. I did enjoy the whole little, like, first setup and the dossier thing and getting into the thing. And once Lizzie had infiltrated the group, I thought that was kind of cool. We got our first test when they had to go to the strip club.
The first test was when they brought her to the warehouse to confront Craig.
You're right.
Yes, this is important.
Very important.
Yes.
Hey, how could I forget that?
I don't know.
The first test when they brought her to the warehouse to confront Craig, and she handled herself wonderfully, I thought. That was a smart move. She really did. And didn't blink.
She sure
did. As Jill mentioned, right?
Nope, not at all.
All right. I thought that was...
I couldn't believe they killed him, though. Like... The post office. Guys, this is not a good look for you.
And everyone's
You're just getting people killed.
Everyone's kind of shrugging, too.
No one really cared.
Yeah.
The Lancer.
Including Liz.
Margo will answer for that. No, you guys set him up for this. Yeah. Guys, take a little responsibility, please.
Post office has seen a lot of dirt.
That was extra dirty.
Etching towards red. And I did like the fact that, you know, we knew that Jill Hennessy, Miss Roche, doesn't F around. Because she was like, all right,
I'll do it. She remembers Mallorca.
Yeah. So she just pow. So the second test is
I remember Mallorca.
Barely. The loyalty speech though.
Yeah.
That's a good speech.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good out.
About me, yeah. It's about loyalty.
Because for a moment I was like, "What's she gonna do?
Yeah.
What's she gonna do?"
I thought that it was one of those moves where the gun was full of blanks or something like that, mm-hmm. and you know, like by the weight of the gun, you know, the move. Like, I knew by the weight it was, she'd pull it, and nothing would happen.
You know, by the weight.
Yeah, that was like I've seen that in a couple movies where they'd be like, "I knew by the weight there was no real bullets in there."
Oh.
So I just shot, click, click, click.
Oh.
That's what they do. I don't know if that's a real thing, but I don't write this stuff. Anyway, I thought she was gonna do one of those moves, but. She didn't have to. She talked her way out of it. I'm buying... Like, let me just stop for a second. For out of all of my Lizzie Keene bashing over the years and all my Lizzie Keene, I don't know, I'm starting to buy her as the hotshot FBI profiler. Like, she's starting to come... I'm coming around to Lizzie Keene as a hotshot FBI profiler. I like seeing her in the field. She's flashing bags. She's got the trench coat. She's undercover. She's, like, reading people. Like, I'm buying it.
Yes.
Come on, Julia.
Okay, Lizzie.
Come on.
Oh, I do miss her sensible suits.
You're not buying it a little bit.
No, I do buy it a little bit. I always loved it when my favorite episodes have always been when she goes undercover.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it in this episode because everything that we've been through. But it doesn't change the fact that I like Lizzie Keene undercover.
Yeah. I do like seeing a different side of Megan, but I like seeing the idea of like window into Megan Boone versus Lizzie. I like the idea of like, oh, this is not Lizzie Keene. This is the loosey goosey, like tequila drinking, like,
partying with
thief.
The ladies. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I enjoyed that aspect of this. I really did.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure. I'm not sold on Lizzie Keene being like a great hang.
You know, great hang. That is not the way I would ever describe Lizzie Keene.
You and I are going to throw some shots back with Lizzie Keene.
Want to hang?
And party in the, like for my birthday, Lizzie Keene's there.
Oh my God.
What are we doing?
If Lizzie Keene was at your birthday last week, that would be... Oh, happy birthday, by the way.
Oh.
Guys, it was his birthday.
Yeah,
happy belated.
That happened. Anyway, thank you. The other thing was... So we did that test. We go through. But we find out that one of the women is not who they say they are. And we find out that they are actually working for Red, right?
Yes. Emma Knightley, working for Red, formerly of MI6.
Formerly of MI6, now working for Red.
Left MI6 exclusively to work for Red full-time.
No, we led to believe that singularly... that singularly she really believed that she had no choice in leaving. So she felt like she was trapped.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole dynamic... What do you make of this whole Lizzie... Emma, what's her name?
Emma.
Emma, the whole Lizzie Emma dynamic. That was very interesting.
That was an interesting device that they used, actually. I was glad that they introduced that. I kind of liked seeing Lizzie being a little jelly.
Yeah.
It seemed like she was a little butthurt.
She's like, oh. Like,
wait a second.
Like, I thought I was his.
She's talking about how she felt like she was the center of his world,
right.
And everything was amazing.
She's
and like, I was like,
well, center, and the center's kind of crowded because I'm the center of his world.
I'm center. It's my job.
Not enough room for two centers in the world.
And when he said to her, you really think that the FBI is the only relationship I have?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's right.
Yeah.
He spreads far.
This is going to be a massage. He's already got a massage person.
Yeah, he has massage. He's gonna have MI6. Who knows what else?
Is
going to
be a KGP person, a spaznaz, or whatever they call him? I don't know.
Oh, spaznaz.
I don't know.
But it was also nice to have... I imagine it was nice for Lizzie to have someone who could sort of relate to what she's going through a little bit and could sort of sympathize, empathize.
I mean, it was supposed to be sort of a cautionary tale. Did you think it was a cautionary
absolutely.
Tale? And even she said towards the end, like, let her go.
You have to let her go.
Do you think that it started as one thing with this Emma and then turned into that?
Like romantic or like a Lizzie Keene sort of?
As a good-hearted, like a Lizzie Keene, I'm here to protect you, I'm here to look after you.
Yeah, but the Lizzie Keene thing I feel like goes way deeper than whatever it was that he had with Emma. I think Emma is an employee, whereas Lizzie in some way is family.
Right, maybe. I agree. So,
but Red really did seem genuinely hurt when she didn't go to him to get out.
Yeah.
So he has love for her in some fashion. She's been with him for 8 years.
This was quietly a really good Red episode. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of good insight into Red, a lot of good Red emotion. And I'll get to it. That sort of scene, that last sort of Red monologue at the end was super telling, talking about why he wanted the list and everything else. But I'll get to that. So the first test, the strip club, we went to the thing. And the guy, the boss.
The mob boss.
You know, I mean, he's fairly stereotypical. I wanted Joe to comment about that guy because he's, Joe's people. But like, I don't pay you girls to stand around. What's the line on us?
Something like that. Something about their hair extensions.
I don't pay you girls to stand around and look at your hair extensions. I pay you to shake your butts. Like, all right.
Oh, God.
Anyway, that happened. So anyway, they get him back. Liz, they get the, from him. They get the information on the hacker dude who has the actual list,
Helditch,
right?
Helditch. Out in Hong Kong.
Out in Hong Kong. They fly to Hong Kong against Wrestler's advice because Wrestler says,
we have no jurisdiction.
Go. We have no jurisdiction over there. He's like, she's like, I trust Emma. Everything's fine. They fly to Hong Kong. Things go terribly wrong.
Terribly awry.
But before that happens, they're all partying, hanging out, doing some shots.
Mm-hmm.
And, Roche, as we talked about earlier, takes Lizzie in the back.
Love it, in the bathroom. Workplace sexual harassment, if you ask me.
And says, hey, it's all about loyalty. I'm the boss. Yeah, a little
uncomfortable with that.
So this in the Trump world. This is, I guess this is what we can expect. Even from our criminals. They don't have an HR at the super hot super thief heist. They need a human resources for those ladies. Because
there's
some sexual harassment going on, is what I'm saying.
Call upstairs.
Anyway. So Jill Hennessy corners her in the bathroom, which is, again, we mentioned that it's super not sexy. But then Emma comes in, like, what are you guys doing? This is my woman.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing was interesting.
It made me question her loyalty also for a minute. I guess she was taking one for the team, but then,
she had gone
silent for a long time. Presumably, now that we know the bigger picture, presumably so she could take the list and sell it and go into hiding for the rest of her life.
Right.
But at that moment, I thought, well, maybe she is really, really in with this one with Margot Roche, and maybe she has turned, and maybe this is her lover and her girlfriend, and they have a relationship.
The moment, so after that, because after the whole girlfriend thing, that was really great. The way the heist went down, when the heist went wrong, very reminiscent of Mission Impossible, the first Mission Impossible, or a bunch of sort of heist gone wrong movies.
Mm-hmm.
I began to wonder in that moment, like, wait a minute, like you said, like, who is Roche in on this? Is she running the out, but is she like, am I going to meet somewhere later and double cross everyone? And also very resourceful of, what about my one girl, man? She weighs both darts?
Yeah, they said she was the impulsive chameleon.
Oh. Is that what happened?
That's what happened.
She's a little too impulsive.
She was a little too impulsive.
I'm like, that didn't work. Like, you could have taken out the one. You dart the one dude, and you karate the chick.
It would have been easy. Emma even said, we were waiting for the loo. Okay, bye.
Oh, God.
It would have been so easy.
The two darts. Yeah.
She only had two.
Right. Hens clucking around is the line. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. that's awful. And the hair, something about hair extensions. Hens
that
clucking around
with
hair extensions. Anyway.
It's good.
Yeah, so the two darts. Shit hits the fan. They do whatever. The sister runs out. Pow, gets popped. Mm-hmm. She's down. Lizzie does the old open the window, hide in the closet move. Mm-hmm. It works. And cut to, she's on the street. I like those moves, too.
Yeah, I like those moves,
too. So I'm like, too. Who knew? Well, I'll need your key card. Nice and clean. That was close.
Remember, she used to be a thief. I want to explore that side of Lizzie. Remember when she, in season one, when she was talking about how she used to be a thief?
Oh,
and
yeah.
She learned, like, sleight of hand and all the things she would do. Why don't we ever talk about that?
Because it was preposterous.
I want to talk about that.
Because it's preposterous. That's why we never talk. Even John Bogenkamp himself, the second he wrote that, he was like, ew.
Pretend I didn't say that.
All right,
pretend I didn't
say that. We'll slide it in. We'll float it out there, test balloon.
Wasn't me,
see
I didn't
how it
say
goes.
It. I didn't say it.
She's like, yeah, we're taking that one back. Like, we've never heard of Lizzie the Thief again. No more talk of her sleight of hand skills, which would have come in handy here.
Yeah.
They were a perfect callback. I said, well, you know, Red, I can go undercover. You know I used to be a thief.
Yeah.
Like, in addition to my keen ability to read people and profile folks, I also can
lift a wallet or two. You
know. Good. And also, yeah, Liam has a good port. Good point. They can only afford 2 darts on the mission.
I know, 2.
This is a poorly planned op. This is the worst op ever. So anyway, so they get rid of that. They get out of there. Lizzie's
giving a
free.
Bad name to girl criminal groups.
I mean, but this is kind of this
come on,
is,
ladies,
this
get your shit together.
I'm a big sucker for that whole thing though, because it's a foreshadowing. I like the planning of the heist. I like the whole, like, the music starts. Like, Julia, you got security. Lola, you've got weapons. Marissa,
you have the weapons.
You got the music. I don't know. Anyway, Marissa's got the music. Anyway, yeah, I love all that stuff. And it's kind of a foreshadowing to what I hope Ocean's Ocho will be like. You know about Ocean's Ocho, right?
Do you know I've never seen an Ocean's movie?
Who are you?
I've seen like 50 to...
And what is happening?
I've seen at least like... I've seen 75% of the first one.
Oh, my God.
But I can't definitively say that I've seen an Ocean's movie.
All right. Well, so there's Ocean's, the original Ocean's 11, with Sammy Davis and
Rat Pack.
Rat Pack. And then there's Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13.
And then there's Ocean's
two
Ocho.
Two of them are good.
With chickadees.
And there's Ocean's Ocho with Sandra Bullock and Rihanna and a bunch of other chicks.
Oh.
Mindy,
your favorite.
Mindy Kaling.
Kaling, okay.
Kaling, yeah. But there's also some A-listers. There's Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock is an A-lister.
And like 3 A-listers. And then like when you get down to Ocho, you get to like Mindy. But like, it's all, but Mindy, I love Mindy.
I love Mindy.
Anyway.
Blacklist.
Back to Blacklist. I love the whole thing. We get out of there. We find out that, she took off. And she's trying to get out.
Yes.
Red finds her. They have the confrontation. Red offers her the thing. Did you think Red was going to kill her there?
I was hoping not. She has a beautiful face, by the way. I could stare at that woman all day.
And she classed up the joint. By the way,
she sure freaking did.
That scene. I mean, Jill classed up the joint, too.
Real fast.
But she, her name is...
Anastasia Griffith.
Anastasia Griffith.
Oh, I could stare at her all day.
She classed up the joint. Let me tell you what. Because she was in Trauma, on NBC's Trauma. She was in Damages.
Alfie.
She was on
Copper. Damages. Trauma.
Yeah.
Elementary.
She was in the ill-fated Zoo on CBS, I believe. She's great. She was in Banshee.
Apparently. Dr. Paradis.
Oh, Banshee's Origins. Oh, yeah. I love
Anyways, her. I could stare at her all day.
I love her.
She's
I love that
way
scene by the tree. It just very much reminds me. Because Red does this thing where he can go from... there's that sort of like very British sort of Tinker Tailor Soldier spy element to him. Like, we're just going to talk about stuff. And like the way that scene where he kind of walked up and they talked about all the espionage was sort of talky and wonderful. Like, the two of them, two strong actors, classing up the joint. Like,
she really held her own against him.
Held her own.
She really rose to his occasion, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
I believed it. I was in it. I don't get that enough sometimes on the show.
I agree. And so I love that.
I hope she comes back.
I hope she comes back,
too.
Oh,
I would love it.
And her name is...
Emma Knightley.
Huh?
What?
No, I mean, like, she would come back... I'm thinking she'd come back as some of Liz's long-lost sister or something, some Russian connection I'm thinking.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I love that scene. So then we get the wonderful scene with Red and Liz, where, Liz outs him and thinks he could... Did Liz go away knowing that she didn't kill her, though? Does Liz think that Red killed Emma?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because he ask told the peeps. Story about the... Guys, do you think that... I mean, out there, ask you guys. Does Liz still think that Red killed her? Because I think that...
He never said, nah, I didn't do that.
No, but he told a great job of the story of why he wanted the list.
Yes.
But, you know, but he didn't really dispel...
He never said yes or no.
Yeah, anyway, she says, that doesn't excuse you. So Liz has a new reason to be mad at Red, so there's mm-hmm. that. And not so mad at Dembe.
Dembe off the hook. He understood.
He's like, I understood. In that moment, though, when he's talking about why he did that and why it was, he said it was Kate, Mr. Kaplan. Like, that was some Top Gun acting. Top Gun acting. Like, he was really...
Why do you think Dembe told Lizzie?
I think it's a real... He touched on them before. I think it's a real battle for Red's soul. Dembe's really afraid that Red is grounded. Even though Red is kind of an amoral guy and he's done that, he's grounded in his loyalty to his people and something he believes in and something he cares about. There's something that's grounding Red that makes him not just a... you know, crazy sociopathic killer who's going to do everything for his own good. Mm-hmm. He's grounded in the people that he trusts and loves, and he has his weird own moral red code. I think that Dembe saw that slip away. When he killed Kaplan, it's like, well, what is this guy fighting for? And some of the other things he's doing, what side is he on? What is he fighting for? Liz is the only thing he cares about. Liz is rejecting him at every corner. I'm worried about this guy. Like, mm-hmm. she needs to know that this guy's in trouble. So that's kind of what I thought. But Liz's reaction isn't, let me help you. Her reaction is always like, So I don't know.
I'm out of here.
I don't know. So that happened. But here's what I want you to explain to me.
Uh-oh.
What is going on? So what's going on with the accountant? And
accountant's dead.
I know, but was the whole thing to buying the whole cruise line... Was that supposed to be important, or was that just to get it to the device?
I think it's a device to get us to whatever this new war that somebody is waging. Okay, that someone has somehow infiltrated into Red's world and is trying to undercut him and trying to start a war with him.
Right. So he's trying to buy this cruise line, mm-hmm. Because he wants to smuggle stuff on the cruise ship, I imagine, because it's a family
smart
cruise
move.
Line. And he... Waiting for the payment to go through, waiting for the payment, can't get a hold of the accountant, nothing's happening. Finds out that not only is the accountant not paid, but this guy is sold to a rival of mm-hmm. his, right? Which he doesn't think is coincidence. He didn't mm-hmm. like that. And have we heard that name before?
Well, I wrote it down, but I don't know what the pronunciation is. Balda Magnusson? Magnusson?
That sounds right.
Does it?
I don't know.
Thank you.
I don't know. Do we know? Let's see.
I've never heard that name before.
Yes. Isolated and feeling okay. Andrew Martin says at an interview in Tonight Show, James Spader commented on how isolated Red Relatives feeling this season and got that from this episode. I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, she mentions that name, who I don't think we're supposed to know, which is maybe foreshadowing.
I think so.
Whatever it was like, we're out of here. That's not a coincidence. And Dembe was like, that's a coincidence.
Come on, Dembe.
That wasn't a
coincidence. Even I know that's not a coincidence.
Like, come on, Dembe. By the way, sweet gig that Dembe's got, man.
Tell me about it.
What a sweet gig.
I know.
I mean, I'm not mad at him as an actor, but man, he gets that sweet network money, gets to wear cool clothes, bump around, he's got like two lines.
Has to memorize two lines on
two
episode
lines
tops.
An episode, and they're all like sort of meaningful.
And still Red. Gets top, and still gets billing.
I had to tell her. He's out. Clicking checks, like... I love good for Dembe. Anyway, so they leave. They find out from my man Abe. Is it Abe?
Abe.
By the way, that's a Top Gun, top notch mustache on Abe.
Oh yeah, it's
that mustache
good.
Was
on
incredible.
Point.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't.
Wow, I didn't have that strong of a reaction to it. Wow,
really impressed. I mean, like, I live in a neighborhood full of hipsters, and everybody's got mustaches and things. But that was like 1970, super thick. It was a choice of the thickness of the mustache. It was like a Groucho Marx kind of thing mm-hmm. going on, and with the fro. I thought Abe was a bold choice. Anyway, Abe informed. I was impressed with Abe's mustache. Abe informed Red that like his accountant is not only dead, but the money has not been transferred and it's floating out there in space. Now, does that mean only on this transaction only, or does that mean that Red's broke?
I think it was that transaction only.
Okay.
But if this is his accountant, I mean, who knows what else? Now, can you please explain to me how bitcoins work?
Yeah.
How real money turns into fake money?
It's not fake money. It's a Bitcoin.
Air money.
It's not air money. It's a Bitcoin.
I don't get it. I don't understand Bitcoins.
I don't get it. What's a Bitcoin?
I know what they are. I don't understand how they work. Maybe you can tell me over cocktails.
We'll talk about over cocktails. Okay. Anyway,
I need a martini for you to explain Bitcoins to me. Then you can tell me how to use Snapchat again.
Yes, we can. We can talk about that. So, but at the end, he said someone's waging a war.
Yes,
which I thought was very, very interesting. Now, the question that we always ask each other, which we always don't have the answer to, is: did you watch the preview for next week?
I did not.
Damn it! Neither did I. What happened in the preview? We don't know.
But I did see a commercial for Blacklist: Colon Redemption.
No.
Yes.
What happened in the commercial?
I don't really know. Because they just showed Tom. They showed Mr. Solomon. Yeah.
I forgot about Mr. Solomon.
Yeah, Mr. Solomon is like one of the top guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
They showed the chick. Tom's mom.
Jackie. They said the boy's name. Tommy. Stevie. What's her name?
Don't remember.
It's the boy's name,
Tom's mom.
Though.
And okay. Then they showed... Oh, shit. I can't remember her name. She was one of the episodes. I'll tell you later.
All right.
Black girl. Oh, great
yeah. Oh,
hair.
Tough one. Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Stunning chick. She's in it, too.
Okay.
That
ready.
One. You know who I'm talking about, right?
I do. I love... I'm really excited. What was that?
It's not Famke Janssen, are you?
Yeah. Famke Janssen, but I forget her character's name.
Her character's name. Charlie?
It's like a dude's name. Yeah, it's like Freddy, Charlie, Freddy? Johnny.
Steve?
Stevie. Joey. I don't know. Anyway. Susan Hargrave. No, aww. That's not her. Anyway.
It is.
Oh, so go to YouTube channel for the official trailer for Redemption. It's 2 minutes. Susan Hargrave. Oh, Susan Hargrave. Okay, great.
Okay, I guess
Mr. Solomon is my number one candidate for waging war in red for the spinoff into Redemption. Oh. I like that, and Andrew Martin.
Oh, I'm so happy for some Mr. Solomon. I love him.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite characters that ever come out of this show.
Anyway, so we'll see. I'm very excited, but I'm very disappointed, though, and before we get out of here, and again, maybe we'll do predictions, but I'm very disappointed that Susan Hargrave, is that her name? Yeah, that's her name, but I thought it was like a guy's name.
Maybe not.
Maybe we messed that up.
I don't know.
I'm very disappointed that Tom wasn't there to give Lizzie undercover tips. Like, Tom's the guy.
Tom's the undercover guy.
He's got glasses. He's got a box full of passports. Like,
that he's pining
for.
How
can we not have a scene where she's like, Tom, I'm going undercover. Like, here's what you need to do, babe. Like, where's that scene? No? Try these on. The glasses? Like, she's in the hoodie? No. Like, something. Like, I want that scene. That's the deleted scene that I want. Anyway.
Okay.
Damn it.
That would have been a really good scene. I actually agree.
Let's have predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Julia, what's your prediction? Who's waging the war? Where have the Bitcoins gone? What is a Bitcoin? And where the hell is Tom?
You actually scared me.
Julia.
Hey, this is why I like it when what's her name is here.
Oh, Nez Rowan. Nez Rowan's a chick you think.
Nez Rowan, that's it. Thank you guys.
Thank you, Tiffany.
I think Mr. Kaplan's gonna show up soon. I don't really have a prediction. I just know Mr. Kaplan's gonna show up soon.
Where the F is Mr. Kaplan?
I don't know.
For God's sake. She's still like hitching her way back to town.
I guess. Maybe
is she still in the truck?
I don't know. We haven't seen her since then. I don't know why we haven't
Scotty.
Seen her yet.
Scotty! Susan Scotty
there
Hargrave.
It is.
For the love
Woo.
Of Christ, T-Lex. Thank you very much.
Woo.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. So, what's your prediction?
I don't have one. Right. We're going to meet this Belda Magnuson guy.
Okay.
I don't know. And Kaplan. Mr. Kaplan.
I think next week we're going to obviously get into the Blacklist Redemption crossover, which I do believe will have something to do with this whole sort of war waging that's going on. And maybe this will be the thing that takes out Tom. Because we still have
maybe Red will employ Tom.
We have another... Maybe. We have another finale, right? We have like two finales. So like, there's like the fall finale.
Yeah.
Then there's like the winter finale.
Okay.
And then there's like the finale. So I think we have another finale coming. So I think we have another break. So I think that's what we're going to
get. Because Amir was saying that they're going to throw in Redemption while we're on another break from
Blacklist,
right? So
then
the
crossover, and then we're going to have, you know, in the, what is it, the winter finale, I guess it is?
I guess.
All right. The fall finale, the winter finale, and then we'll have the spring finale.
And we have summer off, and then we do it again.
Summer off, yes. That's the way we do it. What do they call it, though? They don't call it, like, they call it the fall finale, and they call it the, they don't call it the winter finale.
I don't know what they call it.
I don't know. Anyway, oh, it usually comes around Super Bowl, too, right? Or it comes somewhere around there.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's happening.
Some disappointing games yesterday.
Yeah, for you. For your husband, I should
whole
say.
Whole season was disappointing for me.
Yeah, me
and
too.
You, Niners fans. Niners fans.
Anyway, that's it. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to all that next week. That was my prediction, by the way. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry that we're late. Sorry we're late this week. We'll be right back on time next week with hopefully Joe Flippo in studio. Maybe even we'll have our friend
Jody Walker.
My good friend Jody Walker's name, I can't remember. Thank you, Andrew Martin. Thank you, Fantasy Stats Guru. Thanks, T-Lex. Thanks, all of you folks, for listening and checking us out. Watson Keen, Fantasy Stats Guru, Liam. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We will see you all next week. Bye-bye. Oh, I forgot.
Oh, wait,
where can the kids find you?
Oh, find me on Twitter and on Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, J-U-L-I-A-C-E-A-R-L-E-Y.
You can find me on Instagram at Joe K. Braz, well, and on Snapchat at JK Braz. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.